Hello, and welcome to Manga Splaining, the show where we recommend great manga to folks who haven't read manga before. Hosted by Deb Aoki, David Brothers, Christopher Butcher, and Chip Zdarsky. Follow along with our show notes and reading lists at mangasplaining.com. This week, I'm hosting, and we are talking about Spy Family by Tatsuya Endo. It's published by Viz Media Shonen Jump, and it is, because I listened to Chip, we're only talking about volume one today.
Yay. Thank you. So kind.
Okay, so Spy Family debuted in 2019. It's up to 7 volumes in Japan. It was translated by Casey Lowe, touch-up and lettering by Rina Mappa, designed by Jimmy Pressler. The U.S. editor is Amy Yu, and the Japan editor is Shihei Lin. So to start things off, let's explain the plot. What better way to do that than to actually read the back of the book? All right. Not one to depend on others, Twilight has his work cut out for him, procuring both a wife and a child for his mission to infiltrate an elite private school. What he doesn't know is that the wife he's chosen is an assassin. The child he's adopted is a telepath. Interestingly, at the end of the book, Tatsuya Endo's little statement is kind of similar. I'm a big fan of movies and anime where the characters are hiding who they really are. I love the tension of, will they be discovered? And the anguish of them wanting to reveal their secrets and not being able to. There isn't any of that in this manga, but I hope you'll enjoy it anyway. So yeah, the Spy Family it's interesting because it's a Shonen Jump manga, and it's available as part of the Shonen Jump subscription. $1.99.
Best deal in comics.
Best deal in comics. So you can binge away. It's also available in Jump Plus, which is the version of Shonen Jump for the rest of the world, like in Spanish and Russian and Thai and Portuguese and Russian, you know, all that stuff.
Oh, Jump Plus is a magazine.
Manga Plus is that.
So why did I pay like $10 to read this on Comixology?
I'm sorry.
Good question.
Instead of getting this Shonen Jump $2 thing.
Maybe you shouldn't tune us out when we're talking every week about how everyone should sign up for Shonen Jump because it's $2 a month. I don't know. We've only said that 100 times on here. David does a little flop sweat every time thinking that he's like...
I didn't realize this was Shonen Jump. All right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I should explain that. But it is in the Shonen Jump app subscription. It's also in the Manga Plus app. And it is recently published in Jump Plus, which is It's published bi-weekly. It's basically the Shonen Jump digital edition. Actually, David or Chris, can you kind of explain what Jump Plus is?
I think that's all David, yeah.
Do you remember Zuda? Like the DC Comics webcomics initiative? Yep. It's that if that Whoa. Was a screaming success.
Wow.
Where basically, like there are different mangaka who, you know, put their stories up. You know, they go through the editorial process. Like they're nurtured the way print creatives are, for lack of a better phrase.
Mm. Yeah.
And then they're just serialized online. Like a lot of mangaka use it to do stories of varying length. Mm. Not just like the standard 20, you know, page chapters, but like maybe this one's like 30 or 40 or this one's shorter, yeah. That kind of thing. So it's pretty cool.
That sounds great. I almost did that at DC. I did a Justice League book that was supposed to be like digital only. And then they were like, oh, but we can also make money doing it in print. So yeah. Everything ended up being the same as before, except weirdly broken up. Sounds great.
Yeah. There was a point, this is a small tangent, but you could tell which DC books were the digital first books because there was like a horizontal dividing line on every page.
Yeah.
Because it would split it. So it'd be landscape and landscape, top and bottom.
Yeah. I didn't have to do, I did that for a previous DC gig, but I didn't have to do it for this one.
Yeah.
Because I guess they stopped caring at that point. They're just like, yeah, no one seems to actually care. Like everyone's reading them differently, so whatever. But yeah.
But the success of Jump Plus, like the fact that it can have like a hit manga, sort of speaks to where we are now compared to 2006 or whenever it was when Zuda happened. Like it's very much a right place, right time thing. Like they've got the right stories for the right audience with the right devices.
So this wasn't in print in Japan, or did it end up going in print in like the full volumes?
It was serialized digitally. I think, Deb, you researched that, right? It was serialized digitally, and then they put out the tankobon collecting them in print?
Yep. So what it means is it was not serialized in the print magazine, you know, the telephone book clicking thing, but it is available in print books.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So what's the difference? I mean, is the Jump Plus audience older than the Weekly Shonen Jump audience?
I think sort of by default. Like, if you look at the series that run on Jump Plus, like, they run the gamut. Like, there's... I was going to name some random ones off the top of my head, but of course I can't do that now. But it's
about this mature readers
content.
One Punch Man?
Yeah. One Punch Man. I think Hell's Paradise Jigoku Raku that I worked on was one of those. Just kind of anything goes in a way that's kind of fun. So I would say the target audience is just like people who like jump manga. Like, if you like the action stories, if you like this kind of comedy, that's the one.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about this, and we're only covering the first volume, but I did read ahead a little bit, is that they actually did a special chapter 8.5. So it's reprinted in volume 2, but it's in between chapters 8 and 9. And they did it as a print chapter, and they put it in Weekly Jump as a one-shot, basically recapitulating the entire first volume of the manga in one story, and then having like the characters go on an adventure, which sort of shows them off. So, yeah, it's this digital-only thing. It's clearly catching on. Like, it's kind of a big deal. And they're like, oh, we could get even more readership for this and maybe have people check out the first volume if we do a print chapter, like in the actual Shonen Jump magazine in Japan, which obviously ended up the North American Jump stuff. That's actually, I just found out about that when I was reading. That's really cool. Does that happen a lot, to the best of your knowledge, David? Like, these, like, one-shots that end up in printed Jump, like an 8.5 or something like
Sometimes
that?
Sometimes I think series graduate to Jump, or like Chainsaw Man went in reverse. Like, Chainsaw Man was a huge hit in Shonen Jump, and now they're like, okay, well, now it's going to Jump Plus digital only, which I'm not sure why. I assume because the content was getting pretty out there. Yeah. But
well, maybe just as a way to draw people to it because it's cheaper for them to produce.
Yeah,
like it becomes the name thing. People are like, oh, if Chainsaw Man's going there, like, I guess.
Yeah, and it would draw a lot of eyes. But it's already had so many hit series. Kaiju number 8, another like kind of buzzy series, is from Jump Plus.
Yeah.
Astro Lost in Space, which I liked a lot from a few years ago.
Yeah, everyone really likes that Reddit. But no one read it, by the way, as far as I can tell, Astro Lost in Space. But everyone has like, everyone I've talked to in manga is like, have you read Astro Lost in Space, by the way? So good. It's only 4 volumes. And anyway, just putting that out there. Backing up David's opinion.
To bring it all together, Spy Family was the most popular Shonen Jump Plus title from 2019 onward.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah, it's pretty buzzy, huh?
Yeah. Kind of cool.
I think what's interesting about Spy Family is that it doesn't benefit from what we generally understand in America as the anime effect, meaning that if it has an anime, then it's very popular. This has none to speak of, but it's won a ton of awards. It's nominated for an Eisner, nominated for a Harvey. It seems to have a lot of crossover appeal. So I guess my question is to Chip, did you see the appeal of Spy Family?
Well, you know me, without an anime, I don't care. it's just who I am. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Yeah, I thought it was delightful. It's such a... I had a friend at the studio today, and I was explaining the premise, and I was chuckling just saying the premise. Like, every time you add the other element, you're just like, and then they do this. Like, what? And then she's a spy. Oh, by the way, the kid's a telepath. Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a fun premise, and it's so well done. And, you know, even though it's mostly just played for laughs, you know, there's like revealing things about the characters, even in volume 1, that make you root for them and want to keep reading. If I had, say, like a Shonen Jump $2 subscription, I may have kept going to volume 2 if my friends had told me to do it. I don't know.
Maybe scare up some sponsors and we can all afford a subscription.
Yeah, get on that, man.
Yeah. I will also say, out of everything we've read through season 1 to now, this has the best color pages and cover.
I like those color pages. Beautiful. They're subtle, eh?
It's not even just the fact that they're subtle. It's just really nice combinations and really well designed. Like, there's subtle, like, you know, Portrait of My Father with the green, like, I guess that's subtle, but it wasn't necessarily that good. Whereas this is just a beautiful color combinations, really well rendered, gorgeous. Like, some of the best color pages and design I've seen.
And kind of amazing that this guy's first long series.
Yeah. Wow.
He's otherwise did one shots.
Yeah. No, that's amazing.
Sorry. So he was doing one shots. Did I read that he was the Chainsaw Man dude's assistant? Is that what I read? That was his work before he was doing
Blue
comics?
Exorcist.
Oh, the Blue Exorcist guy's assistant. Okay, yeah.
Girl.
So this
girl.
Is... Oh,
Kazuhei Kato, yeah. Oh,
yeah. So yeah, there you go. Like, we've been talking a lot about... I've been listening to the most recent couple episodes that we recorded, and it's like, we've been talking a lot about like what assistants do and things like that, and the benefits of having assistants and not assistants, and it's like, this is this person's first full ongoing manga, and they came up through the assistant system within Shonen Jump, and it's just... Yeah, it's like a home run out of the gate. I think that speaks really well of the assistant system in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Oh, he was also Chainsaw Man creator's previous series Fire Punch. He was an assistant on that as well.
Oh, okay.
That's a wild lineup. Yeah, but very clean art.
I was looking at his assistants, and one name I recognized was Nao Emoto. She does.
Oh.
Omeda in Your Savage Seasons.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, really?
One.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one of the best titles for any comic ever, too. It's up there with Dick Fight Island for me.
What's say the title again?
Oh, Maidens in Your Savage Season. And wow. It's essentially about high school girls discovering sex ed.
Wow. It's a great title.
It's on my short list for you, by the way. So we'll get around to it someday.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people really love that series, too. It's I kept getting it recommended to me. I think Christine Wong likes it, and Jarrett used to was his favorite series at the store, and then Chris, who works at Little Island, likes it too. So they've all been recommending it to me, and it's just like, honestly, until I started the podcast, I just wasn't in much of a reading comics place for a little while. So yeah, now if Deb forces me to do it, that would be great. You go for it.
Don't Perfect. Throw me into that briar patch.
Well, Chris, let's see what you thought of Spy Family then.
I actually subscribed to Shonen Jump this week just to read this because I didn't want to pay $10.
You son of a...
It's amazing that Chip just like kept setting that up and setting that up. Thank you so much, Deb, for making him go first. That was perfect.
Oh, my God.
I have a crappy old tablet that I still love dearly and mostly works, and I couldn't get the volumes to load in the Viz app. And I was like, but the chapters were all loading. And I'm like... I guess I'm subscribing it. This is the week for Shonen Jump. Anyway, it's $2.37 Canadian rather than $2 a week. But I got a free week trial, so it's actually free. I can read the whole of Spy X Family for free. Weird that you spent $10, man. That's that
so
sucks.
Mad.
Cold blooded.
So mad.
Oh.
Yeah, I actually, this is like a real solid 8 out of 10 for me. I think it is out of the gate, really strong art, storytelling, all that kind of stuff. It doesn't quite go for the jugular in the way I wanted it to. And that might just be because it's shonen manga. If it was like a little bit older, I feel like it would, how do I say it? It's maybe something about the pacing and the way that they introduce the emotions of the characters is very direct. It's like, oh, right. The reason I don't like the crying of children is I remember that I cried as a child and I couldn't stop crying and I don't want that to ever happen again. And it's like, that was probably more of like, that was something that happened where you learn about the main spy, Twilight, he's trying to like explain, you know, why this thing bothers him. That was a page and it was a good page. But if it was 3 or 4 pages or sort of like if it had hit him in a different way, if it had even been, and I got to go back to it again, Yona of the Dawn's like weird PTSD reveal, which was like a slow, deliberate thing for a manga series for the same age range. I just felt like, yeah, that whole thing was just like, that's a feeling I have. And I feel like if it was told in a seinen context, it would have come out a different way and maybe been a little bit more nuanced. And if it was told to, you know, for grownups, and it would have, but that's just... I aged out. Like, I'm old. Like, I hate to say it. But, like, reading this, I was like, this is really good. I'll totally keep reading this indefinitely. Like, there's nothing wrong with it at all. But it doesn't have that, like, little over-the-top bit of greatness that, like, I was chuckling the whole way through, which is awesome. But I didn't have a full-on breakdown laughter session like I did in something like Way of the House Husband or some of the other manga that we've done. So yeah, like I think it's really good. I think it's like a really good 8 out of 10. I would have no problem recommending this to anybody, but it's just not where my head's at for the kind of manga that I would choose to read. If that makes sense.
It's funny you mentioned the scene of him being like, oh, that's why I hate the sounds of kids crying so much in the one page flashback. Because I read it almost comedically.
Yeah, and that's really? It's not supposed to be. Like, that's the other thing.
Because it's just like, oh, this is funny. Like, they're shoehorning in the tragic past Like,
nope.
Like with like two panels, and they're over the top panels too. It's a kid crying in the middle of a bunch of like dead bodies and rubble and a smashed in tank and buildings destroyed. Like, it's so over the top that it's just like, it felt like almost like a wink from the author, just being like, yeah. I we all know there's some backstory here. Here you go.
That's how I felt too. Chris, yeah. What genre would you say this manga is?
It's like an action manga, I think. Action comedy, maybe. Like, there's definitely funny bits. It's got the like little kid to keep things from getting too heavy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got two grown-ass protagonists that are both like mass murderers. So yeah, I'm not surprised it's in Weekly Shonen Jump. It's not in Weekly Shonen Jump, right? Like that just doesn't have grown-up protagonists for the most part. It doesn't have all kinds of things, but it's still firmly... The emotional language is still firmly in a shonen vein. And I think that there's, again, absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's just
okay
as an action comedy. And yeah, like chuckling all the way through was great. Actually, that bonus chapter, which is 8.5, where the mangaka distills the entire first volume and the premise into like 40 pages, where he's constantly... his neighbors think he's cheating on his wife because he's always out late doing murders. So they have like a normal outing to the aquarium, and then the neighbors show up to check on him and are like constantly talking shit in the margins. Hilarious. Like, really funny, actually. While he's like...
That sounds great. Is that on Shonen Jump?
Yeah, it's Shonen Jump 8.5. It's free. It's free. Wow. You can check it out. Well, sorry, it's free if you pay for Shonen Jump Plus.
I'll check it out.
Free seven-day trial. I will also say, because we're weirdly shilling Shonen Jump Plus really hard this week, I checked, and Toronto Public Library actually has all these volumes for free, both in print and on Overdrive. So if you've got a library card, you could have read it for free too. Just go for it. Oh, damn. I was going to try really hard not to swear this episode. Please go back and bleep that, David. I want this one to be one that my nephew can listen to.
We'll see.
Because he really likes shonen manga.
He tried so hard not to swear, but he just had to destroy me.
Yeah, I just had to destroy you, and that was worth it, I think.
I'm going to increase the volume on that one bit 300%.
No!
With an echo.
Yeah. Deb, do you want to give your take before I give mine?
Sure.
I'm curious what you think.
Oh, I mean, I think it was just kind of, you read the first chapter, and it's a perfectly set up, you know, super high concept, right? Mm. You know, it's the spy, it's the kid who's a telepath, you know, the mix of the action and the comedy. And then he's like, I mean, even the spy thing, it's like, oh, you know, he goes out with the guy's daughter and he goes, well, I don't need you anymore. And then the big spy secret brutal. that he gets is the fact that the politician wears a hairpiece.
Like, yeah.
You know, it's pretty lightweight spy stuff, right? It's kind of, there's some violence, but it's comical violence.
Yeah.
And the way that I kind of, reading volume one, I kind of admired how each chapter was devoted to introducing a new character in a very kind of methodical way.
Mm-hmm.
But also too, that the characters are all a little bit, how do we say, broken?
Yeah.
Or a little bit defective somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in a funny way, like, you know, like Yor's an assassin, but she's kind of socially inept.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Twilight is a super spy, but, you know, he just can't figure out kids and he's a little bit at wit's end.
Mm-hmm.
And Anya is so badly wants to have a family, and she can read minds, but because she's a child. What she reads, she can't quite understand, and she comically continually misunderstands it.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's just kind of like I thought it was a really perfect setup. As one volume, it's really tight. It gives you pretty much everything that you're going to get from it. The art's good from the get-go, which is not a given, as we found out.
Yeah, for sure.
Season one. And I mean, you know, you can stop here and it's okay. But you can go on and it'll keep introducing more characters and more stuff. And I kind of also like the way that he draws action too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's elasticity, and you know, like when someone's face gets punched in, it's like you're punching a rubber ball, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then like someone gets hit, like he slams them down with a chair, and like you see like this stretch and bounce. It's kind of neat.
Yeah. Super kinetic.
Yeah. There's a lot to like about this, and it's so accessible, you know, because there's no, oh, Japanese high school, and stuff, right? It's even though it's kind of a weird semi-European country, it's, you know, you don't have to think too hard about what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. West Berlin is pretty direct, though.
Yeah, true. I have a lot of takes, actually.
All right.
I didn't realize how many until we started talking. But, I mean, I liked it, of course. I feel like all these we say, I liked it, and then we get into what we really want to talk about. But it's kind of, like, in the author's note, he mentions that it's sort of like an espionage novel without any of, like, the twists and turns and, like, derring do, you know?
Yep, yeah.
And, you know, I love those movies, too. And he's right in that essentially it's set in, like, a very espionage-friendly setting, this kind of fake, you know, Europa-type setting, which you see in anime, you see in fiction. It's not any particular European country. It's just kind of like if Paris was Berlin, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Kinda, yeah.
He's a super spy, but he's not in the James Bond mold or any kind of popular super spy mold. Like, he's, in fact, sort of more of an anime super spy where, like, he just is really good at his job for mysterious reasons, but also has, like, a really wacky hijink side. Same with your, like, when she's, like, admiring the knife during dinner. Like, I asked Chris what genre this was because I feel like it's straight up comedy. Like, it's only barely action comedy.
Yeah.
It's like comparing Heat to Rush Hour, you know? Like, they're both kind of crime stories set in LA. But the goals of the creators involved are so different. Like, this, I laughed a lot reading this. There are so many good bits, so many good jokes. Him being like, I have 7 days to make a child is one of, like, several, a run of great jokes in this book.
Spitting the coffee, that was great.
Yeah. After there's all this dialogue about how he's, like, such a great spy. Like, there's, like, no, very few jokes in the first few pages. At least overt like that. And then it's like, oh, here's a spit take. Like, this is, like, classic comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, this is almost more like Dr. Slump, where it's a setting and a wacky cast with a precocious, you know, young girl character to kind of tie everything together, but also to complicate everything. Because, like, she gets kidnapped because she played with the radio after, you know, Lloyd told her not to.
Yeah.
But her not being, like, a super genius, I think, is what makes it extra funny.
Yeah.
Because she can't read minds. She does. She is privy to all these secrets. But, like, she's, like, 4 years old pretending to be six.
Yeah.
And that only goes so far.
I like even when she's being mentally fed the answers during her interview at the end, she still is mixing up every second word.
Yeah, it's so, so good. And because she's a kid, like, they really, like, stretch her expressions, like her crying face in the bonus story at the very end when she's, like, trying to detect which toy is in the package and she gets it wrong. And it does, like, the slumped over pose. Yeah. It's just all so good.
Mm.
So, yeah, I second everything Deb said. Like, art's beautiful. The action storytelling is a lot of fun. But I think that it wants to be a dumb comedy for teens more so than, like, anything with, like, true, like, pathos.
Yeah. So I haven't read beyond volume one, so I don't know if that changes. It feels like the kind of story where it could actually change quite quickly and actually have those kind of twists and turns and, like, more action. I'm assuming, Deb, you've read further?
Yeah. The story does change a bit when Anya gets into the school. Because then there's more school hijinks.
Okay.
Like, she's dealing with the snobby son of the politician that Lloyd is after.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that ridiculous headmaster who's all about elegance.
Oh, I love that guy so much.
I wanted to say, I should have mentioned in the opening, my favorite character by far. I'm going to have so many elegance reaction shots for Instagram when this episode goes live. Just him screaming, elegance, over and over. That's going to be a great anime moment if they get the right voice actor for it.
Oh,
it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, those are my laugh out loud moments. Him just drawing out the word elegance.
Deb, did you read far enough to meet the dog?
I did, yes.
Okay.
The dog is great. That's
they
a brilliant
addition.
They adopt a dog
that can see the future.
And only Anya can read his mind.
And it's just this wild collection of, like, types of characters. Like, they're not very deep. And I don't mean that in, like, an insulting way. It's just, you know, like, Lloyd is a spy with a dark past with, you know, broken tank flashbacks.
Yeah.
But so you immediately understand who he is. Like, same with Yor and, like, raising her, you know, becoming an assassin to raise her off-screen younger brother. Like, they're very easy to figure out who these people are and to get attached to them.
So how far in have you gone, David? Sorry.
Maybe 2.5 volumes. I was reading it serialized.
Okay.
So it's sort of fuzzy. But just the jokes get better. Like the way the characters bounce off each other is always fun. It's almost like watching pinball, you know?
Yeah.
Like one thing builds into the next thing. Like when they have two changes of clothes for the interview. And the elegant guy is like, oh man, like, oh man.
Oh, and then the cow that looks like Gene Simmons.
Yeah, I love the cow.
So weird.
And there's no like follow up. It's just like, this is just a bad cow, man. This is a cool cow.
The cool
the kid
cow.
That falls into the sewer and then he has to rescue him is like,
oh god, that whole scene is just so well done. Just like what one ridiculous thing after another. Wildly unpredictable.
And it's same as House Husband, same as Yotsuba, where it's just like, this is situational comedy. Like, we're going to put these people in an aquarium, in a museum, in a school, and we're going to see what happens. And what's going to happen is like the most ridiculous thing possible.
Yeah. It's because the situation is so good. Like, coming up with just like this premise, and then you could basically iterate, let's say, 10 seasons worth. You know what I mean? Like, lots of volumes of this could go on before it gets old. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing, too, because it seems like such a high concept can get old fast. It can wear out its welcome, but it seems like they're able to keep it going.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I read Volume 5 of Way of the House Husband, and I'm like, okay, maybe it's starting to wear thin now. Like, you kind of get the beats, and they're very consistent from volume to volume, story to story.
Yeah. But
really, that's just kind of one joke. Whereas this, there's an opportunity for multiple because of the characters and the interactions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So I think Way of the House Husband is funnier, but I think this has more potential.
Mm.
Like, I'd be that more interested sense. To read more of this than Way of the House Husband.
Really? Yeah. That's because that was your fave.
But I think partly, you know, because I did end up reading the 5 volumes, I'm just like, when Volume 6 comes out, I don't have it on pre-order. Like, you know, maybe one day when I'm feeling like it.
I think, like, he's right. The scope is narrow.
Yeah.
It's like watching, I don't know, like a one-on-one fight versus a tournament. Like, the one-on-one's always good, but the tournament has a lot more, you know, opportunity for stuff to go down.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
But Way of the House Husband has been adding more characters, but I feel like Spy Family has been adding more characters, and it somehow makes it richer.
Yeah.
And more interesting, like, the character, like, later on, there's another spy who's Lloyd's coworker who has a crush on him. Mm. And, you know, the dog who can see the future. And then Yor's brother also has a secret second career that puts him at odds with Lloyd and Yor.
Let's just back up. The dog who can see the future. Like, that's just, man, that's genius.
Yeah.
Good job, creator.
His name is Bond Forger. And he's just this big, fuzzy dog.
Yeah. Oh, that's so
I think that's like the pancake moment, isn't it? It's like in Yotsuba, it's like, you can enjoy it, but if you get to the dog part, that's when things get good.
Yeah, for sure.
Man. What did you think of the character designs, by the way?
I loved it.
Yeah,
The fashion was on point. I was actually just going to bring it up. There's, in the chapter where they're all trying to get into the school, there's a flashback that, like, where they're pretending like how they met, and Yor's wearing like two different outfits, and both of them are like really cute, realistic things people would wear in real life. And I think that's way underrated, just in terms of like building a setting, making it believable, but also making it look good. Like, it makes the comic look better if you're like, oh, this is a sweater dress and not just like a generic like pencil skirt like you see in like every other comic or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just looking at the covers of volumes 1, 2, and 3 right now, and they're all on these like different, beautiful, mid-century modern inspired pieces of furniture. Like, he's got this like leather chair with like an external aluminum frame. Anya's sitting on this like beautiful like couch composed of like dots of fabric, and then this like gorgeous like white plastic, like, again, mid-century modern chair. Like, and then the sphere chair that you sit in is what the dog is sitting in, because that's perfect. And it's just like, oh, you as a mangaka seem to have at least one interest outside of manga, and that's interesting to me, because that is not a guarantee. A lot of manga, especially, like, no shade, but a lot of Shonen Jump manga feels like it's created by people who have only ever read Shonen Jump. You know what I mean? And I don't even like, and I like that there's a history of Shonen Jump and that people get excited about things, but like, oh, you're into fashion and design and architecture. Like, that's actually cool. That adds a lot of richness to this world. Like, even though it is a fake Europe, it's like you're grabbing all the cool stuff that you like from that, you know, kind of thing, putting into this book and make, giving it a life beyond that. I also think it's really interesting that the mangaka Endo Sensei draws a little like Natsume Ono. Deb, this might be more for you, but like, there's like a lot of like straight top lid, heavy lidded, like big bottom semicircle lidded characters with like perfectly square jaws that look a lot like Natsume Ono and how she draws men. Natsume Ono, for folks who don't know, is mostly known as a BL or sort of seinen with BL overtones mangaka. She has a whole BL career as well, but her work that's been translated in English, she's done a samurai epic. So that like super square jaw with like the heavy lids and things like that is kind of a trademark of her work. And I see a lot of that, particularly in how she draws Twilight or whatever his real name is.
Lloyd. Lloyd spelled in a really weird way.
Lloyd.
I was just looking at most recent chapter, which is 51, which by the way, the art looks indistinguishable from chapter one. Like it looks exactly the same. Like this is someone who's really hit their stride. I think I can share my screen. Right now you can sort of see like this face right here. Deb, like this like heavy lidded eyes, square jaw, like there's some real Natsume Ono vibes to the work that I get that makes me think that maybe this mangaka is like pulling from lots of different sources of manga as well. And even if you don't know Ono Sensei, looking at this like wide panel, and I'll include it in the show notes, like this chubby dude on the end with the goatee, that is a level of caricature that you don't see in a lot of Shonen Jump manga. You know what I mean? Like there's no sameness to any of this. Like this is all someone who's drawing things and pulling from very different places with caricature. And I think that that's actually really interesting too.
There were two other guys like that I noticed that I wanted to point out. Frankie was good. It was just two random guys in a crowd. Mm-hmm. Oh, on the two-page spread of Mission 4, page 158, 159, there's like a Clark Kent looking guy on the bottom kind of right center with like big round glasses that looks funny.
Okay.
But then far off to the left, there's a lady all the way to the left, like a very kind looking mother lady. And they're such tiny drawings, but like great caricature. You can kind of extrapolate personality or at least like what type of comedy this person would fall prey to.
Yeah.
Just from these little drawings.
I want to show you the covers because the covers are particularly nice.
Yeah.
The fact that it's designed with a whole series in mind is really, really interesting and thoughtful.
Hmm.
They're all mid-century modern like chairs designed like by Eames and Le Corbusier and stuff like that.
Hmm.
But all these, the choices say something about who these characters are. Like the marshmallow chair, it's like she's a little girl. And the future-seeing dog is like a futurist's ball chair. That's kind of like how he is. And then later on, there's this chair, which is where the spoiled boy sits on it. And then this heart chair is where this is the female spy who's a rival for who also has a crush on Lloyd. Okay. So these are really purposeful, interesting choices, chairs
that speak to
the personalities. And the way that the logo, you know, moves and changes, it's at the top, it's on the bottom, it's centered, it's side. It's just really elegantly designed.
Elegance.
I didn't even look at the show notes that you had put together, Deb. I'm sorry. I wouldn't have stepped on your toes like that, but I was just taken by the covers and I was like, these chairs and the covers are so cool. I didn't realize you had a whole thing prepared, but it'll be in the show notes, folks. It's actually really cool.
Chris just loves to say mid-century modern every chance.
I love the words mid-century modern after another. I've been watching a lot of House Hunters International.
Yeah.
My brother's house, because he's got them all. So
yeah.
So I guess I also wanted to ask, like, so this is the big test, and we've learned this from Way of the House Husband, but would you keep reading this?
I'm biased because I already kept reading it, but absolutely. It actually kind of reminds me, like, my job publishes Spy Family, little late disclosure, but reading this reminds me of working at Image Comics between, like, 2013, 2017, whenever it was that I left, because there was just this wild burst of new series, like new number ones, wild sales, but also like creativity too. And sometimes books would come through the office where it's like, hey, like you got to check this out. We just got files. Look at this. And it's like the best thing ever. And with Spy Family, there was a lot of that around the office as well, where someone read a chapter and go like, hey, no, check this out now. Like, stop whatever you're doing that's important to do and look at this really awesome thing that we've got. Because it just feels special. Like there's something about it, something about the joke, something about the execution, the consistency, I don't know. But like it just clicks. Like the humor is really good. The setting is really good. Like Chris was saying, it draws from a lot of different things. Like I love when an artist clearly has an obsession and it like leaks into their work.
Yeah.
The caricature is good. Like the... You want to foster a kid guy that looks like Mario from Mario Brothers. There's just so many different angles where I could be like, here's why this is really good.
Yeah.
And I love that feeling.
His work doesn't look anything like Oda Sensei's, who does One Piece, but I think that there is a similar freedom that he employs to just do ridiculous caricature and trust that the strength of his style of comics is going to hold it all together. And it always works. Like there's not one, like you can look at like characters drawn three very different ways, page, like in this series, three different characters, but they all still feel like they're a part of a cohesive whole. And I think that that's something that is such a strength of comics, but is so difficult to get right. Because if you push something too far, all of a sudden the character design doesn't look like it belongs in the world that you've created.
Yeah.
And that's not something that I ever felt happened here. And that's actually really cool. I don't think his work looks like Oda, but I think Oda can pull that off as well, which is so funny because you think of like Oda being like, oh, Toriyama is my god, and that's who I like learned to draw from, whatever. Every Toriyama character looks like a Toriyama character, like, and like within this like very shallow space, like he's almost like Kirby in that way, where everyone Kirby draws looks like Kirby drew them, and it's all within this like very defined range, unless they're grotesqueries. And this is just like all over the place, like everything from like very hot, like sexy spy characters to like, you know, Mario, the world's worst orphanage runner. And it all was pretty good. The elegance guy, like just screaming elegance over and over again was so good.
A great example of that odd model thing you're talking about are the spreads 194 and 195, 196, 197, and then 198, 199. All three of those show different, like vastly different approaches to the characters. It's when Twilight almost punches a guy in the mouth during the interview.
Oh, that's so good.
Almost murders someone. Good.
Yeah. Oh, it's just so beautiful. Like there's concern, there's like sheepishness, there's comedy, shock.
The page of Twilight with his eyes open, pulling the fist back about to punch the guy. It's such a good page.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've never had a bigger anticipation for the next page than I have with that one.
Yeah.
It's so well done.
And that guy more than earns the...
Oh, yeah. Well, what a great bad guy.
I just love that Yor was probably going to murder that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She has her claws out.
Yeah. Second wife. So good. So Chris, would you go and read the second volume?
I already did. What did I end up reading? I just kept reading because I was like counting down the minutes to see. So I finished chapters 8.5 and 9, which is just a little bit more than 2/3 of the second volume. And it stays good. I don't think I'm as interested in the goings on at the school specifically. But I think it's this goes back to I don't want to read about Pinocchio, the like adorable like child character that's supposed to be goofy and talk with a speech impediment to like bridge the ultra violence. Like I get it, not nearly as annoying in this one. So if you hate Pinocchio, Anya, totally okay. She's a great little kid foil character. I will say the like super creepy I don't give a shit smile that she does at the like bully character that she's supposed to be sucking up to, the like wide grin where she's like, I don't even care about your bullying, and everyone in the class is like, oh, like she's so cool. That was actually really, really good. But the rest of it, like that kind of intrigue is not where I'm at. I kind of just want to spend time with the grown-up characters, but I guess we're in kind of a holding pattern there. I don't know. I flipped forward to the most recent chapter just to see what it was about, and they're taking out snipers on a boat and it's all grown up. So I think I'm in. Like, I think, I mean, I've already subscribed to this thing for a month. I may as well read a bunch of chapters of this and see.
I'm going to say this is shock number two. The fact that you never read Kaoru Mori, and the fact that you've never subscribed to Shonen Jump, Chris.
Oh, I used to subscribe. I let it lapse. It was my fault.
Okay.
It wasn't anyone else's fault, but I did subscribe for a year. Actually, when I started at Viz, I'm like, I guess I better know what's going on with Shonen Jump. So it was another situation that maybe contributed to why I don't want to read comics, where it's just like, all right, you're starting at Viz, here you go. And I read, I think, every first chapter that was available on the app. And then I started reading like two to the first volume of everything else. So I've read a little bit of stuff. Like I read Astra, I thought it was fine, the first chapter. I read some Bleach. My Hero actually really caught for me. And then some of the other older series I liked. I liked World Trigger's art a lot, for example.
This is a dumb question. So there's Shonen Jump Plus, and there's Viz.
So
is the stuff on Shonen Jump Plus Viz's translations brought back over to Shonen Jump Plus?
There is
Jump Plus. I'm sorry, did I open up a Pandora's box here?
So there's Jump Plus, which is a Japanese language digital magazine.
Yeah.
Which is where this runs. Then there's Weekly Shonen Jump, which is the Japanese language print magazine.
Yes. Yes.
And then there's the Shonen Jump app, which is the $2 a month, yada, yada, subscribe.
Yeah.
Thing. Which has a mix of stories from Jump Square, Ultra Jump.
Sure.
It sort of aggregates like Jump as a category.
Yeah. Is Viz Shonen Jump, like, are they the same company?
One of Viz's parent companies in Japan publishes Shonen Jump.
Okay.
So it's kind of like same-ish.
Yeah.
Like Wildstorm in DC, maybe?
Okay. So Shonen Jump stories appear in Japanese. Viz, I guess I'm assuming, just like write a first refusal, and then they translate it, put together the English version, and then it goes back and goes on Jump Plus.
Actually, no. The English stuff just stays on our side.
Okay. So if I subscribe to what Chris just subscribed to, I'm getting Viz material.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah, you don't really have a need to do Manga Plus. Manga Plus is the international one.
Gotcha.
So there probably are a bunch of people who are already reading Spy Family. So maybe our next mission is to tell these people, if you like Spy Family, what American or European comics do you think we could recommend to them that they might enjoy?
Nothing.
That's the trouble with these, right? Is that a lot of times the high concept doesn't really match what we have here in North America, or like the wackiness of the concept or something about it isn't quite the same.
Yeah.
Like all the spy books I want to compare this to are things like Brubaker and Epting doing Velvet, or Rucka, Trautman, and Saez doing Checkmate about 14, 15 years ago now.
Yeah.
So if you like books like that, but you wish they were full of slapstick hijinks, Spy Family is the one for you.
Yeah. I think a bit too of like kind of going the other direction. I like Kyle Stark's work.
Oh, yeah.
Because he does like funny genre stuff. Him and Erica Henderson doing Assassin Nation. Mm-hmm. That's kind of got a bit of a feel like this, but the problem is, like, for the most part, if you end up with kind of like a comedy book in kind of the North American market, it's usually a bit too extreme, like full of violence and swearing and stuff, which you know I'm not a fan of.
Of course.
What about Bandette?
So there's not a lot of sweet spot. Yeah, Bandette. Yeah, that'd be good.
Bandette's Bandette's differently earnest than this is, I would say. Like, I think this is very committed to, like, the bit, to the joke, while Bandette is still kind of... I describe Bandette as an adventure story before a comedy, even though it's still very funny.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a great reference, though. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I love Colleen's work. You know what? The only book I could think of that this reminded me of is Christopher Sevilla did a book called Crowded, which was about crowdfunding assassinations for people that the world hates so much that they deserve to die.
Yep.
And I read the first issue of that, and I'm like, that's a good high concept. It's a one volume. I can't remember who put it out. Was it Boom? Someone put it out. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to read something about crowdfunding has evolving and the whole, you know, everyone in the world chipping in a few bucks to get rid of the people that they hate the most, then Crowded might be for you if you already like Spy Family. But I feel like it's a darker, more adult humor than something like Spy Family.
Yeah.
Which
that's
is tough.
That's the problem. Mm. I believe that's soon to be a feature film starring Rebel Wilson.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think she signed up for it.
Good for X-Top. That's great.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, that's all I can
think of. Actually, I would say Sergio Aragonés in general, I think, has a similar style of humor, where it's very much about like how wacky can you get and still like maintain like a straight face.
Yeah.
Up to a point.
I read so much Gru.
Yeah.
Yeah. That like everyone else is in a realistic swords and sorcery epic with like the occasional jokes, except for Gru, who is just a total like a ignoramus. What's the word that he keeps going back to? And yeah, I love Gru. And actually, what a good off the wall reference. Actually,
yeah,
way to go on that. That's great.
I've never read Gru.
No,
totally
holds up. It's weird, actually. He's written like Sergio Aragonés wrote like 150, maybe 200 issues of that across a bunch of different publishers. Literally, every single one of them is exactly as good as the one before it. It's really weird.
Oh, like Usagi Yojimbo.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty good.
I think that's why him and Stan are friends.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's great.
Sergio Aragonés, man, he's like the real life version of the Dos Equis most interesting man in the world.
Oh yeah, yeah, sure. he's a presence.
He's amazing. I don't think they don't make him like that anymore.
I think he's a good example of what Chris and Chip were talking about, where it's good when like creators have interest in things and you can see it in their work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he lived a life
clearly. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a book, Sergio Aragonés Funnies. It was a collection of his, basically his own Mad Magazine, kind of.
Yeah.
And it's some of the funniest stories I've ever read. And it's just all him solo, like just, I don't know, 150 pages or something like that.
Mm. That's great. That's
great.
Yeah.
All right. So go read Gru, everyone.
Yeah.
This maybe brings up a larger Shonen Jump point that I want to like throw to the crowd. And I know Deb has some thoughts because she started talking very late to me one night about it. And it's just like, the high concepts in Shonen Jump right now, like I said, my nephew discovered Naruto, Naruto, and then discovered the rest of the Shonen Jump stuff and now is like addicted. Hunter x Hunter, he finished and he's like now to the point that I warned him about where he's waiting for every chapter to come out. And every time we give him a new one, he just loves it. The high concepts on stuff for like Shonen Jump and for like that audience of like, you know, 12, 10 to 15 year old, you know, boys and girls, obviously, is just so good. Like, it's like there's a reason that this manga is selling so well. It's like blowing away sales records. Even like we sold more manga last year than we sold during the boom. And they thought that would never happen again. And it's only going up this year. And it's just like, I don't know, man. I feel like there's just not a lot of stuff out there that compares sometimes in North American comics, especially for that demo. I think you can get into really weird, complicated, high concepty ideas, but everyone wants to do it for grownups. Like what is coming out for teenagers for that age? And I, you know, we're all well past our teenage years, so maybe we're not the people to ask, but I would love it if someone could go, actually, this comic that's coming out from First Second or this comic that's coming out from Random House or whatever is like Shonen Jump tier, like high concept execution, etc., etc. And I don't know, that is a thought that I think Deb sparked in me. Maybe Deb, do you want to follow up, or what do you guys think?
Would it be cartoons instead of comics is all I can think, because I feel like there's a wide variety of high concept cartoons for adults and
like teens. Steven Universe is very high
Steven
concept.
Universe, like Adventure Time, I feel like same boat. Even it's not really for kids, but something like Tuca and Birdie, same kind of deal where it's like, here's this wacky idea played totally straight and executed very well. I think it's just like, this is what that market wants, while our market wants something a little bit different, or maybe is being provided with something different.
But this at the same time is like, we're struggling to find an equivalent, because even though this idea seems so simple, right? As a spy, there's an assassin. They don't know that each other are, they have these secret jobs. And then there's a child who can read minds. And it doesn't sound particularly original. It's just the combination is.
Yeah, it sounds like a sequel to Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's I thought that too. But it's totally different than the execution, right?
Yeah.
Like it has those elements, but it's not about that. And it's appropriate. Like I would have no problem giving this to a 13-year-old.
It's amazing because it's appropriate for teens. It's not super sexy or like fan service-y. The story is straightforward enough that you could give it to a younger teen and they'd get it. But at the same time, it's still entertaining enough for an adult to read. It doesn't talk down to an adult.
Yeah. It's legit funny. Like that's the other thing too. Like there's such a good, consistent sense of humor. Like everyone's cracking almost unintentional jokes all the way through. And that's like, that's awesome. I don't know.
It almost feels effortless, but yet I know there's a lot of effort to make.
Oh yeah. This person has put their 10,000 hours into whatever to be good at it. So
yeah.
You know, maybe it's not a question that could be answered. It's just that I ask it because I was reading this and I was like, yeah, kids would love this. Like I like it a lot and I think kids would really love it. And I'm like, oh, these characters are smoking because that's like part of his cover. And actually there's a joke about that in the I think it's the chapter 8.5 where he's like, he has a cigarette and he coughs and his like person he's talking to that's feeding him information is like, did you quit? And he's like, yeah, I got a family now. And it's like a really good joke, like on a couple different levels for as a spy. You couldn't have smoking in a book that was created in North America. Scholastic, in their graphic novel line, all the way through teen stuff, has a ban on depictions of smoking. And Jeff Smith there's a very famous Jeff Smith story about how they wanted to get rid of Smiley Bones cigars in the Scholastic edition. And he was like, oh, I'm just canceling the contract, then bye. And they were like, wait, no, I didn't realize. So, but like, just little things like that. Like, I think because manga gets a bit of a pass because it's coming from not our culture, which is really debatable these days, you get to include things that would have been removed at the editorial level in North American comics, especially for works for kids. And it's, you know, maybe I'm off base and I think we'll hear about it in the comments because Lord knows there's enough North American comics people listening to the podcast now.
The smoking thing's really interesting because I've been doing a bit of a TV writing stuff lately and I've been told, even though the shows are for adults, no smoking.
Really?
Yeah. They're like, oh, you can have drugs, people snorting cocaine, smoking the marijuana. That's fine. But cigarettes, no.
Got to get that truth money. Sorry.
All right. Let's take a break right now. And when we come back, maybe we'll have a reader question or maybe we'll have shout outs. I'm not sure. Be right back. Okay. And we're back. And it does look like we have something in the mailbag. David, you want to do the honors?
Yeah. So this question came to us through email. This is from Matthew Viriyapa, and this is kind of a long thing, but I'm going to read all of it. So I've been listening to your recent episodes and checked out some of the episodes of titles I was already familiar with, like Naruto and Fullmetal Alchemist. Those were definitely the titles of my childhood. I've been enjoying it, and it's interesting to see where people are coming from who are new to manga. But I would suggest reading a manga as it comes out week to week as an experiment. For me, at least, that's how I've consumed the majority of the manga that I've read. Growing up, I was a really frequent visitor of scanlation sites and aggregate sites, and I would read the major shonen fan translations week to week. And now with more reputable and legal sites like Manga Plus and Crunchyroll or Comixology Simulpub, I would totally suggest picking up a title, catching up if you need to, and then reading it weekly for a few months. Some newer titles that I really like on Manga Plus are Blue Box. If you read this, also read the one-shot. I wish you had read the one-shot for Naruto, just to explain how that process kind of works and the differences between them. And Dandadan. Neru also has recently debuted with its first chapter. I find that the experience is totally different, like reading month to month versus reading in trade for American comics, or binging a show versus watching it weekly. It might also make it easier to read. The barrier to entry is probably lower and it becomes a part of your routine. And I'd also throw that in for why webcomics are so popular. So Matthew, thank you for your email submission. This is a pretty interesting comment because we have been talking about manga on the show essentially as discrete works, like individual graphic novels, instead of, I think everything we've read so far has been serialized outside of maybe what the font.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's like serializing a work and publishing it wholesale are two different things. And sometimes, you know, it can work very easily. One equals the other. Other times it might work great in serialization. Not as well in collected form. Chip, so you write like monthly superhero comics. Like that's the serialized stories of our day. Is that your preferred way to like
consume a story?
No. I mean, I only ever... When I purchase comics, they're trade paperbacks, so they're collections of the single issues.
Okay.
Or graphic novels. Yeah, it's a very different beast. Like, I'm not a big single... Like, when I was a kid, I was a big single issue reader. Mm. But as an adult, I'm not, just because it just feels too short for me. And my memory is worse. Like, as a kid, I think you obsess over the issues.
Yeah.
And so when the next issue comes out, you've already reread the previous one like 10 times. Whereas as an adult, I'll pick up the next issue of a thing and be like, what? Who's this? What?
Daredevil wears red?
Yeah, what? Why would he do that? Like, I write the book and I have trouble with that. Like, yeah. I was like, you know, sometimes I'll write a scene in a comic and I'll forget that I wrote that scene in the previous issue. Like, it's bad. It's bad. So it's partly an age thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a binger, so it's hard for me to read weekly.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense.
You said, how quickly did you catch up on One Piece, Deb?
I did it over the course of a year.
Okay, that's not that bad.
But I didn't read it constantly, right? I
mean,
I would read like about 3 or 4 chapters a week. I'd watch the anime. I'd watch three, you know, like I kind of cut it into little pieces.
Yeah.
And it, now that I'm at the point where I'm caught up with One Piece, I find it agonizing to read it weekly. Like, that's it. That's all that happens this week.
I kind of had that a bit with Breaking Bad. Like, because you get it with TV shows, so you like, it'd be like, oh yeah, this is great, and you're watching on Netflix or whatever, and then all of a sudden you're a weekly episode watcher, and it's like, oh, that's it? Mm-hmm. Come on.
Better Call Saul is killing me in a similar way right now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm waiting for the new season to drop because I can't. I know better than to try and watch that episode to episode.
Yeah.
I was able to stretch out I Think You Should Leave on Netflix to 2 nights instead of 1. I was very proud of myself.
Wow.
But even that, it's like, all right, that's another year and a half before we get to season 3, maybe. Like, awful. So when this email came in, I actually read it and I was like, oh, that's actually a really good idea. We totally should figure out something that we could read week to week. And I guess I'll just buy Chip a subscription to Shonen Jump or something. Never did, clearly. I was thinking about it. And then it was just like, I don't think I enjoy comics that way. You know what I mean? Like, I want to read a bunch and then pause. And anytime that I've started reading something that had unlimited chapters to read, it's actually burnt me out on that thing. Like, I read all of Naruto, let's go with all of Naruto before I interviewed Kishimoto Sensei. And at the end, I was just like, I don't want to read any, like, I could not pick up Borto. Like, that was the one where it was like, it was free in my app. And I still was just like, I am so Naruto out. Same thing with One Piece, though. I got through, I think, Skypiea, right? Like, I read 28 or 29 volumes of One Piece and I'm like, I'm good. You know, like, I'll maybe one day I'll go back. I know it only keeps getting better and better. And I read arcs that are considered not the best arcs and blah, blah, blah. But like, yeah, at the same time, going in and reading something week to week is a really interesting idea. I don't know if I like comics that way anymore.
I'm also interested in the idea, like the books we've read, like picturing those broken up into chunks. There's not a lot of kind of cliffhangery stuff. Like, the thing that was working for Marvel or DC is like basically every issue I have to have a cliffhanger. And to the point where it almost feels artificial, frankly. Like, oh, this character's about to punch this character. Like, yeah, we know how that's going to end up. But I mean, I haven't read any manga weekly, but it doesn't feel like that's the same. Like, maybe they've broken out of that kind of that routine.
There are cliffhangers, but they're a little different. Like, with Spy Family, you can see, like, sometimes they'll end on a joke. Like, oh, like, we forgot to do blah, blah, blah. And it's like a flip take, you know, to be continued. Well, others will end on like a Marvel's, you know, superhero style fight scene. But I think because the frequency is so much higher.
Yeah.
Weekly, like, versus monthly, you know, and even Spy Family is bi-weekly.
Yeah. And how many pages are the installments then on a weekly?
Like 19 to 20-ish, 19, 22. About the same as Cape Comics, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. But probably less panels per page. Like, the dimensions are...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
So the one that actually that came to mind was Sakamoto Days. It's a new one that just started on Jump. It's a comedy series about a hit, like a legendary assassin slash hitman, actually. But he meets somebody and falls in love and has a fam, like has a real family, has a kid, and he just lets himself get fat and decides to run a convenience store. And then all of a sudden he is discovered and found out, and he has to go back as a killer, except he looks like the daddiest dad that ever dadded in like big round drawings,
like,
and like
slang whatever. Daddy or like dictionary daddy.
No, not even like Toriyama Drew. Okay. Like just like, yeah, it's pretty great.
His glasses, yeah. And he's got a big pot belly, and
it's only at chapter 34. So it was like, right. Oh, we could just do that. And it's like, oh, that's, I don't think I'm going to drop like 17, like what is that? 34. That's 8 volumes of manga, like anywhere between 6 and 8 volumes of manga, depending on how long the chapters are. I'm not going to drop that on poor Chip. He's had enough of my 5.
I mean, I'm okay with the idea of like, if we start doing it where, you know, every episode we talk about like, you know, the new manga that we're talking about. And then we have a little section where it's just the chapter of a thing.
Hmm.
And we'd like do that every week until we've done like 20 chapters of it and see if we want to keep going. Mm. Like, especially if they're like 19, 20 pages, like David's saying, like, that's not, yeah, too, not bad, too bad considering what you've done to me before.
It can only get better.
Yeah.
I think that would be real cool, actually. But we'd have to maybe wait for the right week and wait for something to start that isn't gonna get canceled in one volume.
Well, I mean, we can go back. Like, I mean, you can do something like, I don't know, One Piece. Maybe that's crazy, but like, we can do like, oh, here's chapter 1 of One Piece. So, like,
no, that would be insanity. But yeah, like, you know what? I like this idea. I'm glad you're on board.
Yeah, we do it to like chapter 20 or whatever. Like, it doesn't have to be.
I mean, maybe this is your opportunity to Bleach, David.
That's true.
Might do Bleach. Okay,
there you go.
And there was a Bleach one shot that was really great.
I still need to read that, actually. So like speaking
what?
Of...
What? You haven't read Burn the Witch?
Yet.
No.
I worked on Burn the Witch.
It's a new Bleach one shot.
Oh, okay.
So speaking of, you know, serializing and how we consume books, like Chris, I prefer graphic novels to, like, reading something week to week. But there is one series that Dinpa publishes called Lockdown Zone Level X. There's 9 chapters out now that I have been reading monthly.
And, oh, really?
Yeah. Generally, like for serialized books, I'll wait till there's like, you know, 8 or 9, like a volume's worth of chapters out, and then I'll read a few and then slowly work my way through over the course of some time. But this one, I'm actually making an effort to read it as it comes out. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't know how to explain this without making me sound terrible. A lady wakes up in an apartment building, and there's a monster outside of her door that immediately kills her. And then she wakes up again, and it's sort of like Groundhog's Day, but like a murder mystery.
Mm. Yeah.
Murder mystery is the wrong word.
Huh.
They're being murdered, and they don't know why, so that is the mystery. But
Yeah.
But it's very violent and gross and lurid and gory, and it's a lot of fun, and it's like $2 a chapter. And I like it, but I think I would like it more if it were already like a book.
Mm. Mm.
Like just having the freedom to finish it at my will, to read it at my own pace, I think counts for a lot more. Even though like serializing books is really hard and, you know, it's a craft, but I just like having finished works, I think, more than in progress.
Yeah, makes sense.
Hmm. I mean, Kaiju number 8 could be good that way, because Kaiju number 8 hasn't come out in book form, and it really is only available as chapters right now. Mm. And I think it's a good book. I think it's something you'd enjoy, Chip.
All right.
It's another high concept one where a guy, you know, there's a world full of monsters, and then there are the basically the army that, you know, kills the monsters, and then one guy somehow gets turned into a monster too, but then he can turn back into a human.
Mm-hmm.
Classic.
And then he joins the monster hunter corps, and then he has to try to hide the fact that he's part monster.
Okay.
So it just occurs to me that the three of us each recommended a book that is pretty much in its infancy and that we could each read a chapter of every week. Why don't we do that just like we do for the main volumes as well? So why doesn't, say, next week Chip reads one volume of Lockdown Zone, the week after that Chip reads one chapter. I reads just the first chapter of Lockdown Zone. Then the week after that, just the first chapter of Kaiju number 8. And the week after that, just the first chapter of Sakamoto Days. And then he can choose which series we keep reading one chapter at a time, one week at a time.
Whoa.
That way you get to make the chip choice that I know you love.
All right. Yeah. Okay. I'm in.
Yeah.
I like that we didn't plan this either. It's just another weird ass thing that came up during discussion.
Let's not start this next week because I know we're recording next week's in 2 days.
Yeah.
And I'm already
like behind. For the listeners, we had a conversation earlier about not picking books on this episode.
Yeah.
And yet here we went and picked books anyway.
So let's start this in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, this is a great idea.
But I had something else to pick.
Sorry. This is just for chapters. Don't worry. Next episode, we're gonna pick new volumes again, so that the readers can get ahead. They can put their holds on at the library. They can sign up for Shonen Jump. That's what it takes. But yes, we'll do new picks on the Tsutomu Nihei episode. I think that'll be good that way. And maybe we'll start our little chapter experiment the week after that with Invitation from a Crab from Pampanya. That would be a good, that's a short read, so that'll be a good week to add one more chapter to the pile.
Cool. Oh my God. Thank you, Matthew, for giving us so much more work to do.
Yeah, thanks, Matthew. That was great.
I'm going to say something really tacky, but I feel like every manga podcast out there is about the week-to-week of weekly Shonen Jump.
Yeah, that's true.
And I would like to not be another one who does that.
Okay.
Like, I love Shonen Jump. It's awesome stuff, but come on, man. There's other stuff out there.
Space Brothers, Kakegurui. There's lots of stuff.
Those are all like 30 volumes in too. You know what?
It doesn't matter that they're 30 volumes in.
We'll workshop this. We'll workshop it. It'll be fine. Right. We'll figure it out. But yeah, doing more Shonen Jump is kind of like, I don't know. It's well covered, but they're also putting out 75 series a month. So what are you going to do?
That's true.
Also, at best, we're 20 years out of the target audience.
Yeah, that's actually pretty fun, too. We're so old for the Shonen Jump readership.
I don't understand. What, it's so is it for jaded. 65-year-olds?
Yeah, 65 and up. It's been running since the 50s, so. Yeah. Tight. All right. Well, Matthew, thank you so much for the question. That was great. And I think, Deb, is that the episode? Do you have anything else you'd like to share with us?
I think that's it. We talked a whole bunch about Spy Family. I'm glad to hear you guys all liked it.
Yep.
We learned a bunch about Manga Plus, Shonen Jump Plus, and Weekly Shonen Jump, such that we could probably do a thesis on it next week.
Chip up and, the color pages.
Yeah,
the
color.
Hey.
Yay, color that's pages.
Crazy. Yeah.
So I think we are getting somewhere. Well, let's do a quick one. Quick shout out. Anyone want to shout out something?
So my shout out this week is to a movie that I watched directed by Guy Ritchie starring Jason Statham called Wrath of Man or Man of Wrath. I've been messing it up all week and I've really enjoyed it. Wrath of Man. It came out earlier this year. It looks like a movie that's going to be like a disgruntled military dad has to get revenge for his son, but it's actually a crime boss has to get revenge for his son, which like twists the formula a little bit. It makes it a lot of fun.
Nice.
But it is very much a movie about like a bunch of guys like teasing one guy like, oh, I like your little girl, blah, 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 blah. But he's Jason Statham. So then he kills a bunch of people and they're all like, oh, crap. So like shooting movies and Jason Statham being incredibly underestimated. It's a good time.
All right. Yeah, I'll check that one out then.
How about you, Chris?
My shout out this week is I read a comic a couple months ago and I thought I didn't like it and I can't get it out of my head. So I think maybe I did like it and it's called The Fall and it's published by Image Comics. It's, I think, a graphic novel and its writer artist is named Jared Meralt and it's European graphic novel and it's self-described or perhaps by Image's marketing person as The Walking Dead meets Cormac McCarthy's The Road. And it's basically, it was started before the pandemic, which is another thing that makes this so weird. But basically, a bunch of people get sick and in a family, like in the world, but like a family, a bunch of people get sick and only the mom dies and the father, daughter, and little son survive. And then things go back to normal. And then the sort of virus comes back with a vengeance and only a lot of people that got it the first time built up enough of an immunity that they live. And like a bunch, like huge swaths of humanity dies. And it's about collapse of society, but it's not Walking Dead style, where you skip 6 months into the future and, you know, you wake up in a hospital sort of a thing. It's just like you're watching humanity come apart a little bit at a time. And honestly, I read it in March when it came out. I'm on Image's comp list, so thanks, Image. And I was put it down and I was really upset by it, actually, because it was a little too close to home. But it's, I can't get it out of my head. And it's just because it's actually really good. It's really, really well done. But it's not what I feel like most people want to read right now. And I don't blame them. But it's like, at the same time, like real human responses, like real, it has a lot of stuff that maybe that terrible, was it Zack Snyder zombie movie that just came out that was set in Vegas that I don't want to have anything, like I watched a review of and that was enough. I was just like, nah, but it sort of handles some of that stuff in a more realistic way. So I can't, if you're struggling with things right now, I can't really recommend it in that way, but I started reading it because it was beautiful. Like it has a beautiful understated cover and the artwork and the coloring is sort of European style, kind of beautiful. And I couldn't put it down despite not liking it because it was making me upset about the state of the world. And now I can't stop thinking about it. So, you know, sometimes art makes us feel bad.
And it sounds really successful, honestly.
Wow.
I recommend The Fall by Jared Maralt if you want to feel bad about things. It's pretty good.
It sounds like the comic book version of the movie The Rover with Guy Pearce and...
I don't know that one.
Robert Pattinson, maybe? It's a post-apocalyptic movie, but not like the cool post-apocalypse with like Mad Max car chases and stuff. It's like, oh, like violence sucks and life is hard.
Yeah.
Post-apocalypse. The very
no easy
thing
outs.
Where it's like, yeah, no, I felt so bad. I love the movie, but I will probably never watch it again.
Yeah, I won't. I will read volume two when it comes out because I feel like I owe it to the creator, but I don't want to read volume one again. But that's the other thing. There's no zombies. There's no like, it's just people being shitty. And I think that was what made it successful.
Sorry, this is just a problem I have in general. Why would they say is Walking Dead meets The Road? First of all, those are just like too similar, and also there's no zombies in it. So why?
There's no zombies.
We've got to stop doing this. This meets
like Die Hard with guns or something.
But if the examples don't work, or if they're not different enough, then this thing meets this thing doesn't make any sense.
I'm trying not to mention Seinfeld anymore.
Yeah, somebody said The Road meets Seinfeld. I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah,
I want to see what that is.
There's no Seinfeld here. There's no joy.
But if someone says Star Wars meets The Empire Strikes Back, I'm just like, what?
So it's Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
nice.
God.
Kip, what's your shout out?
I read Spy Family. It's great. Check it out. I got nothing else. I am consuming just nothing except stuff for work right now.
You're not even gonna pimp your Substack? That was the big talk.
No, I'm not pimping anything. I'm done. I quit Twitter. I'm just like, I'm off of all of it. If you wanna come see me, pay $7 a month and come talk to me. It's fine.
We are strongly recommend, aren't we?
House Hunters International is really good. That's less depressing than my recommendation.
I just did the cross country move, so I'm real tired.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, well, my recommendation is something completely different.
Oh.
It is one called The Little Succulents by Yonemaru. It's a cute little manga about a guy whose mom has a garden shop. And she goes off on a trip and she says, take care of my garden shop for me. And she specializes in succulents. And he's so clueless, he doesn't know how to water them. Ooh. So the plant fairy comes along and answers the plant's prayers and they become walking, talking plants. So when he overwaters them, they spit water back at him. It's like, what are you doing, you idiot? and it's this cute little manga that teaches you how to take care of succulents.
Adorable. It's great.
Yeah. It's super high content.
I need some of those myself. Like this,
it's educational.
Succulents.
It's only on Mangamo, unfortunately, but it's good. I like it. Mm.
Nice. Well, we'll have a link to that in the show notes then.
So is it like what the font for plants?
Kinda, yeah.
Great, I'm in.
Maybe that'll be the one you read every week. That'll be great.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. But you have to get a nice subscription to Mangamo. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's all of our pain.
Yeah.
This is been Mangasplaining. We've been talking about Spy Family. Thanks for listening. For our next episode, we'll be discussing the manga. Well, we'll be discussing a lot of manga, actually. We're going to be discussing the various manga of Tsutomu Nihei. Want to pick up a copy of all of these manga by Tsutomu Nihei? Well, you can. Consider supporting your local comic book and manga specialty shop. Find one near you at comicshoplocator.com. You can also follow along with our complete reading list at mangasplaining.com. Thanks to DADS for their musical accompaniment for this episode.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.